Reverend clergy, venerable religious, dear parishioners, on this first Sunday of November, which is dedicated to the Holy Souls, I would like to talk about indulgences, since we will be gaining them for the Holy Souls, and we try to gain them for ourselves as well. But in order to understand indulgences, we need to reflect on a great doctrine of our faith, and that is the communion of saints. There are three parts to the communion of saints. And to be in the communion of saints, one must be in the state of sanctifying grace. So obviously, everyone in heaven is in the state of grace. They are the church triumphant. They are home safe. They cannot possibly lose their eternal reward, which they are already enjoying, the beatific vision. And they are being rewarded according to the degree of good works and suffering endured and prayers prayed and virtue practiced in this life. They can't go higher in reward. They certainly can't go lower. They are fixed for all eternity in whatever condition they find themselves. There's the church suffering in purgatory. These are all those who died in the state of sanctifying grace. In other words, there was no mortal sin on the soul. However, they did not do enough satisfaction, enough atonement for their sins. And yes, God expects us to do atonement for our sins. We can't just say, oh, I've committed many, many sins, but Jesus took care of it all on the cross. I get my straight ticket to heaven. No, it doesn't work that way. God still expects us to do our share of making up for that. We don't get that blank check, that free get out of jail card. You know, just make an act of faith and all punishment is wiped away. No. And so this is the church suffering, and I'll come back to that in a minute. They will be released when their satisfaction has been atoned for sufficiently, if they've been in there for a long enough time, or if we help pay that penalty. They get out sooner out of the burning fire of purgatory, and how grateful they are to us here on earth who are the church militant. So that's the three parts of the church: the church triumphant in heaven, the church suffering in purgatory, and the church militant on earth. And here, one must be in the state of sanctifying grace. If one, unfortunately, commits mortal sin, one loses sanctifying grace and falls out of the communion of saints. However, one does not fall out of the church. Good to know. The only thing that whereby a person falls out of the church voluntarily, if he or she falls into heresy, apostasy, or schism. So one maintains the external membership in the church, but that internal membership, sanctifying grace, is what's needed to be really part of the communion of saints. Church militant, how appropriately named in the epistle today, which I won't spend much time on at all. Remember, St. Paul talks about, he compares us to soldiers, Roman soldiers. You know, have on the helmet. You have to have your sword. You have to have on the breastplate, the belt of truth, breastplate of justice. You have to have offensive and defensive spiritual arms. And another time we'll talk about that, not today. But we are church militant. We have to fight. We have to stand up for what's right. And we can help the holy souls in purgatory. This is what it's all about when it comes to gaining indulgences for the holy souls. So Scripture, even though it doesn't mention the word purgatory very clearly implies it, very clearly teaches it, I should say, by prayers being offered up for the departed. We read about that in the book of Maccabees. St. Paul talks about those being saved by fire. In the Apocalypse, it says, nothing undefiled shall enter heaven. So it's very clear that those who have not done enough atonement for their sins will have to take care of it in purgatory. And there is much that we do not know. We know that purgatory exists. We know that the penance or the atonement has to be paid. We know that we can help them. Exactly what is the nature of the sufferings, we don't know, although fire is definitely part of it. How long does one have to stay there? This has not been revealed to the church. We don't know how God distributes forgiveness and atonement, so to speak, or the granting of remission. Although this is something to reflect upon, we read about this in the book on purgatory by Father Shoup. In the visions of St. Francis of Rome, her impression was that it took 7 years of purgatory for the, on average, to atone for a forgiven mortal sin. Now, that's not church teaching. You don't have to believe that. But there's, I think, good reason to believe that. So it is all about strict justice. You know, in our lives, we receive the mercy of God overflowing. But once we die and stand before our Lord Jesus Christ to be judged, it's really all about mercy, all about justice then, strict justice. And as the gospel tells us, those souls have to be there. They have to pay, you know, it's handed over to the tortures until all the debt is paid. You know, I think a mistake that is made is, you know, when somebody passes away and I've heard people say, oh, they're not suffering anymore. I don't know that we can say that. How do we say that, believing as we do in the doctrine of purgatory? Now, if somebody died as a martyr or as a great saint and did all their penance, yes, we can see them going straight to heaven. Again, not revealed to us, but we can see the possibility of that. But remember what St. Francis de Sales says. He says, I fear the good opinion people will have of me. They will think that I went to heaven and leave me in purgatory to suffer. Please, even if you think somebody died a very holy life, you just don't know how much purgatory time there may be for that soul. So let's not make these wrong assumptions that once somebody has passed away that there's an automatic going to heaven. No, it's not revealed to us. We don't know. And so the more mercy, the more good, the more prayers, the more sacrifices, the more masses we offer for the holy souls, you know what that's going to do? And this ties in with the theme of the gospel. We will receive more mercy ourselves. We will more quickly leave purgatory the more we were willing to help the holy souls. So let's talk about indulgences. Poor, poor word, indulgences, because it was so misunderstood at the time of Martin Luther. And sad to say, he attacked, he condemned the gaining of indulgences. The throwing of the lifeline, you might say, to the poor souls to help them get out. He ridiculed it, he mocked it, he condemned it. How sad. I'm just overwhelmed by the sheer tragedy of it all. Because what is wrong? What could possibly be wrong with helping the poor souls in purgatory? Now, in his 95 Theses, which he nailed to the door of Wittenberg Cathedral, October 31st, 1517, Most of those propositions condemned indulgences, and they were wrong. Although he was right when he condemned the selling of indulgences. We definitely agree with that. But unfortunately, he himself, even though he had great education, he misunderstood indulgences. And many, many people misunderstand indulgences to this day. So let's make sure we know what indulgence is. First of all, it is not a permission to commit sin. Unfortunately, when you read about indulgences in secular references, they'll say that. This gives you permission to go out and do something bad because you've taken care of your purgatory time. Nothing could be further from the truth. Secondly, you can never sell an indulgence. Unfortunately, at the time of Martin Luther, there were a few overzealous preachers who said, gave the impression, you can buy your way into heaven. You get these permissions to commit sin, but it's already taken care of, and you can buy your way into heaven. Again, nothing could be further from the truth. Another misunderstanding that Martin Luther had, he says, why doesn't the Pope just clean purgatory out every day? Since he's giving us, you know, indulgence, why doesn't he reach into purgatory and do that? Well, what is an indulgence? An indulgence is a forgiveness of sins that already have been repented of, you see. You can't get indulgences unless you're sorry for that sin, unless you have apologized to God, unless you have turned away from that sin. That's when you can gain indulgences. And it reduces your purgatory time. That's the right understanding of indulgence. And yes, it's a very, very easy way to have that time in purgatory reduced for you. We should all be very good at gaining indulgences. Why? Because we better to do it in this life than in the strict justice of the next. But to help the holy souls, and how do we do that? Well, as I said, Martin Luther thought that Pope should just reach into purgatory, but here's the point. The Pope does not have any control or authority over the church suffering. He only has it over the church militant. But here's the wonderful doctrine of the communion of saints, that we, although the Pope, a true Pope, cannot give indulgences to the holy souls, the Pope, the church, can give them to us, and we in charity hand it over to the holy souls. We could use it for ourselves in many a case, but we say, no, I'm giving it for them. It's as though somebody was in jail until they paid, say, a $10,000 fine. They don't have the money. You have it. You go up to the jailer. You say, here's the $10,000. The person walks out. How is that person going to feel towards you? But when we help the souls get out of purgatory, we're not just paying a monetary fine here. We're pulling souls out of fire. Imagine pulling people out of a burning building that are already being singed and burned by the flames. And they would have stayed there to more torments unless we had pulled them out. So that is the wonderful doctrine of the communion of saints. We can help the souls in purgatory. They cannot help themselves. It's all about the strict justice. And they may have to be there for months, years, maybe even till the end of the world. We don't know how God does all of this. But what we do know is let's help. Let's really do all that we can to help the holy souls in purgatory. And as many of them as we help, we acquire that many more special intercessors with God, who when they get to heaven will say to God on his heavenly throne, please bless this person. He pulled me out of the fires of purgatory. She offered these masses for me. She did these sacrifices. He visited, my grave during the octave of All Souls Day and gained that indulgence for me. One other point I think it's important to make regarding indulgences is to know the difference between a plenary and a partial. A partial reduces the time in purgatory. It doesn't take it all away. And when you read in your missals, this aspiration, this prayer has a 300-day indulgence. That doesn't mean 300 days of purgatory. That means 300 days of the strict penance that was practiced in the early church. And penances were a lot stricter then than they are now. So that's the equivalent. How does that translate into purgatory time? We simply do not know. God alone can know that. But if we gain indulgence of 300 days and give it to the holy souls, it will at least relieve some of their suffering. But plenary indulgence, this is a little bit hard. This is actually harder to do. Because to gain a plenary indulgence for yourself, you have to do these things. You have to do whatever the good work is. You need to go to confession and Holy Communion within the specified time, and you have to be sorry for all of your sins. Again, remember that principle that we can't receive diminution of purgatory time for sins that we're not sorry for. So we have to have sorrow for all of our sins to gain plenary indulgence. And we can do it. There's many plenary indulgences possible. Prayer before a crucifix. When you do that and pray for the intent, you have to also pray for the intentions of the church. So on Our Father, Hail Mary, and Glory Be. So yes, you can gain those plenary indulgences. And you can also hand them over to the holy souls. And you're practicing great charity there. And beginning at noon today and lasting all the way throughout the day tomorrow, these indulgences are strictly for the holy souls. So whatever time you give, that's how many souls you will literally take out of purgatory if you satisfy the conditions for plenary indulgence. So let us be grateful for this great means, this great mercy of God, this great love of God, this indulgence, forgiveness, taking away atonement. What a wonderful thing it's been given and put into our very hands. Let's use it with love for ourselves and love for the holy souls in purgatory. Blessed are the merciful, for they shall obtain mercy. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Ghost, amen.